Well, good morning to you this morning. Welcome to Thursday Morning Healing School here at High Point Church. I'm Minton Williams, and I have the pleasure of sharing the Word of God with you this morning concerning healing. We at High Point are convinced that along with our redemption, healing is an integral part of it. He forgave our sins, and in forgiving our sins, He also accomplish the work that allows us to not walk in any of the consequences of that sin, which includes healing. And so that's what we're going to be sharing about today and encouraging you to walk in the healing mercies of the Lord. Let me pray before we get started this morning. Father, I thank you today that your work of redemption was complete and that in you we walk whole, spirit, soul, and in our physical bodies. So we open our heart to you this morning. We allow you to wash us with the water of your word to teach us. And we declare when we leave here today, we will never be the same. And it's in Jesus' name that everyone agreed and says, Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about covenant confidence. And that's really the title for what I'm going to talk about in the next two or three sessions here at High Point. But I just want to ask you this question. How many of you, like me, have ever prayed for something and it didn't seem to come about? And we pray as correctly as we know. And then we get to a point where we just finally say, Lord, have mercy on us. And it's almost as mercy as if our last resort. And so we just kind of throw it out there. We may even call people and say, hey, would you pray with me? Let's get a bunch of people because so-and-so really needs this. It may be salvation, maybe a financial bind. Or with what we're talking about today, it may be healing. But we just seem to use mercy oftentimes as a last resort. And I want you to see today that I don't believe that's the case. How about blind Bartimaeus? He called on Jesus and said, have mercy on me. Do we think that he was just calling and saying, have mercy as his last resort? Or the two guys who followed Jesus into the house, the two blind guys. And they were also declaring or saying, have mercy on me. What I want to do today is to talk about being covenant-minded, covenant thinking, and the role that the Hebrew word that we're going to see, hesed, and I don't pronounce it correctly like the Hebrew people do, so forgive me for that. But I want you to just see how we can have confidence in His mercies. And so if you would today, start back with me and let's go to Genesis 15:8. And we're going to just talk briefly about covenant. We're not going to teach this in a comprehensive manner today. If you're interested in it, then you can contact me through the church and I'll be happy to share some material with you. In Genesis 15, the first seven verses, the Lord is talking to Abram and He's given him some more covenant promises. He started in chapter 12 where He gave him the four I wills that He was going to do for him. And He gives him some more. He tells him that one from his household is going to become the seed to carry forward this which he's starting with him. And Abram says, how's that going to be? And the Lord just continues to show him and tell him that. And He even gives him a picture as he looks in the stars. And then it says, and Abraham believed Him. And that's what I want you to remember today. You don't have to understand this. All we have to do is believe what the Word says to us. And then Abraham, even though he believes, he asks a question because he looks around and all these lands that have been promised him are occupied. And he says, how can this be? How's this going to come about? And this is what you see in verse 8 here. He said, O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it? And look at verse 9. I want you to see the Lord's response. He did not say to him, well, I'm going to do 1 and 2 and 3 and you're going to do 4 and 5 and this is how it's going to happen. He told him something that seemingly would make no sense to many people today because we don't understand covenant talk. But Abram did. He recognized when he told him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, along with a pigeon and a turtle dove. He knew what was coming because he understood blood covenant. Look down at verse 18. It says, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Now, literally, what he's saying there is he cut a covenant with Abram. The word made is the word karath, which in the Hebrew means to cut. The word for covenant is actually a word which means to a cutting or to cut until blood flows. Now let's just stop there a minute. So what is the Lord doing with Abram here? He is cutting a blood covenant. Now let's just define a blood covenant. I would say that it is the intermingling, putting together of two different sets of blood. And this has been recognized as a seal for the closest, the holiest, and the most indissoluble compact that one could enter into. The only way out of it was really by death. And what we need to understand is this was the way God chose to communicate with His people. He really had a covenant with Adam. He had a covenant with Noah, here with Abram. He did one with Moses. We're going to see He did one with David, and certainly with Jesus, the one which we are brought into the kingdom by. And when the Lord does this, I want you to understand that He is putting Himself and all of heaven behind what He's saying as He creates and establishes this covenant that we're going to walk in. Now, why is the blood important? Blood is holy to the Lord. In Leviticus, the 17th chapter, the Lord actually says that when blood is spilled, He wants you to cover it up. It is something holy to Him. In the 11th verse of this chapter, He talks about the life being in the blood. The life being in the blood. But what is He going to say here? He goes on in that chapter to say, again in Leviticus 17, verse 11, I think it is. We're not going to put it up on the screen this morning. But He says, it's also given for atonement on the altar. So the Lord uses blood to cover our sins. And certainly that's what we have with the blood of Jesus, except it didn't cover them. It just wiped them away. So what we have in this word, made a covenant, literally means to cut a cutting until blood flows. And what we have is the act of cutting covenant became the word that is used to define covenant. Now, the part that really excites me about this is the blood that is shed in that same chapter in Leviticus is also referred to as blood that our life is identified with. So I want you just begin to see in the covenant relationship you and I have with Jesus, my life is identified with His blood, that precious blood that was shed for you and I. So what was Abram's responsibility in this covenant? Well, we saw that he had to prepare it. But the only other thing he had to do was to believe it. Look down, if you will, at verse 11, because I want to make a point with this verse. After Abram had cut the covenant, he laid the pieces out. He didn't cut the birds in half. Then what happened? The birds of prey came to steal it. And Abram had to protect it. Now, what this says to me and what I firmly believe is that the enemy of our soul, Lucifer, does not want you and I to understand nor appreciate the power that's in a blood covenant. He doesn't want us to know that all of heaven is backing up these covenant promises that we've been given. And he's going to do to you and I exactly what he did to Abram here, try to steal from us so that we don't think about covenant correctly. We don't act and walk and speak even in covenant terms. So to that end, let's look at a few scriptures that talk about covenant and the Lord's commitment. And we're going to start in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Now in the 53rd chapter, that's the redemptive chapter. So that whole chapter is talking about us in the time we live in today in the new covenant. And we'll actually go back to it in a few moments. 54 starts out in talking about the increase and how we're going to be productive in this covenant. And then I want to pick up in verse 9 and read to you this section. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth. So what is he referencing here? He swore to Noah in a covenant that waters wouldn't cover the earth again. And then look what he says right after that. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. How can he say that? Because all of that punishment, all of his wrath was put on Jesus. And we read this verse a lot of times and quote it, but I want you to see today that this verse is given in the context of a blood covenant. He's not going to be angry with us. Therefore, we have no right to say, if I miss it, I'm going to be punished in my body with sickness. It's just not going to happen. He would violate his covenant, and he just won't do that. And then look at verse 10. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness, this is the Hebrew word, hesed. You'll see it spelled C-H-E-S-E-D, or you'll see it spelled H-E-S-E-D in concordances. And look what he says, my loving kindness, my hesed, King James sometimes will use mercy in place of loving kindness, will not be removed from you. So he's talking about hesed here as part of his covenant love, and we'll look at this in a few moments in a little more detail, towards you is going to be never removed, everlasting. And then look what he's going to do also. He says, my covenant of peace. I believe he's talking about the new covenant. But we're at peace now. There's no enmity between us and the Lord God. My covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Now, put that verse back up, the first part of it. This verse meant a lot to me. And in Tennessee, in our last home there, I would walk in the mornings after I retired our subdivision. And it was about a mile each lap. So twice each day, I got to top a hill as I was coming back toward my house and look at a range of mountains. And every time I did, I would say, mountains, you may be removed, the hills, foothills before that mountain that I'm looking at, you may be shaken, but his hesed is ever going to be with me. And his covenant of peace for me will never be removed. And I just began to declare that. And the more I declared it, the more I wanted to learn more about hesed. And this has been many years ago. So we've had the opportunity to really see how intertwined this word hesed really is with covenant. Now, hesed in verse 10 is also described in the New Living Translation as my faithful love. And so again, this is the first time that we're going to look at scriptures, but there's many more where these two are together. Now, it continues down. And remember, this wasn't written in chapter and verse. But in Isaiah 55, the first two verses, it seems that the Lord changes subject. But he's not. He's still staying in the same context that he began in Isaiah 53 of the new covenant. And look what he says here. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and cost. Verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Now, what is the Lord talking about here? Do you see that he's making a contrast between the covenant we have, the covenant of grace, where he freely gives us all things and works? And he's telling us, don't waste your time toiling and laboring for what's not going to satisfy you. Come to me. So he's still talking covenant to us. And then we see in verse 3, he says, come even closer. That's the way I read this. Incline your ear, like a little puppy dog turning his ear to make sure he hears you. Come to me. Listen that you may live. And then he says, that I will make an everlasting covenant, olam berith, an everlasting covenant with you. Now the word olam there, everlasting, is a Hebrew word which means there is no end. It also means there's no beginning. It's like the, as far as the east is from the west, wherever you go around this world, east and west never really come together. It just changes. It just goes on and on. And that's what he's saying he's going to make with you and I. And we know it has been made in the blood of Jesus. And then it adds this statement, according to the faithful mercies. Now this word is hesed again. The faithful mercies that he was shown to David. And I want you to think about David. Now the Lord cut covenant with David. He told him, your people are going to come after you out of your being that will sit on the throne forever. And that's our Jesus today. But I want you to think about David. He did a lot of super things for the Lord. But he missed it sometimes very badly. But what was David quick to do? He was quick to repent. He would turn back to the Lord quickly. And what would the Lord do? He would show him sure mercies of forgiveness. David really got to experience a type of what the New Testament believer receives today. But when he talks about these sure mercies, he's referring to the covenant of David that he established with him. So you see a linkage now between the everlasting covenant, the Olam Barith, that the Lord made, our new covenant, and you see a linkage to the faithful mercies of David. And the common denominator in those two covenants is Jesus, our Redeemer. But let's stop for a moment and let's talk about what is this hesed? There's no single word in the English language that I really think describes it well. And you may ask, well, why are we even interested in it? Why do we want to study it? And I would say for you and I to appreciate the fullness of the new covenant, we need to understand hesed. We must understand what the word means. And you're going to see you can't separate God's love from his covenant. That love, that hesed, I'm going to define it, one of the definitions of it we're going to have, or describe it as covenant love. That covenant love is what moved him to even establish covenant in sending his son for you and I. Look at Psalm 107 with me. And we're going to look at two verses. Let's look first at the first verse, if we can. This starts off, this whole psalm, and I want you to see this because, again, we're talking about the context of things. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his hesed is everlasting. Now, that phrase ought to resonate with you because there's a number of times that it's used in Scripture. We're going to look at a couple of them today and see what declaring his hesed brings on the scene for the believer. And now if we look at verse 43, the last verse, so we're starting and stopping with this. Who is wise? And don't say, not me, because we've been given the mind of Christ. That's in our spirit, and we're renewing our mind so that we begin to think like he does and understand like he does. And so you say, I have the wisdom of God dwelling inside me. You confess that. Don't say, I can't. And then it says, let him give heed to these things. So a wise man is going to give heed to what? And look at that last phrase. And consider the loving kindness or the hesed of the Lord. In fact, the Amplified says in this verse, we should diligently consider it. So that's a pretty strong instruction to us that we need to understand what it means. The Evangelical Dictionary of Theology says that hesed can actually be a synonym for the word covenant. That's how closely they are tied together. This word is used 247 times in the Old Testament, and Strong's Concordance tells us it literally means kindness. But even kindness doesn't do this word justice. That word in our language just doesn't describe it. Listen to what it's translated. Mercy, merciful, kindness, loving kindness, steadfast love, unfailing, unchanging love, covenant love, goodness, loyalty, deeds of devotion, and I like the way the Complete Jewish Bible often translates it, grace. Because we're actually seeing that our covenant is like the covenant with Abraham, which was a covenant of grace. What do I mean by that? We have a responsibility to do anything except believe. And if we had time, I could show you scriptures where it's also can be inferred as compassion, graciousness, but a lot of emphasis on the goodness of God. So it's all these things wrapped together. When you see this word mercy or they understand that it's the Hebrew word hesed. It's all these things together that's being wrapped up into this one word. I took the opportunity, probably 10 years ago, maybe longer, to try to put together my description of hesed in New Testament terms. And here's what I wrote. It's the Father's, and I would say along with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because they're three in one. It's the Father's nature of being ever faithful with a limitless love that gives and gives and gives. And He's giving not because He has to, but He's giving because of that love and He wants to just pour it out upon us. It's really reflecting who He is, His very nature. The next one is also keeping me from what I deserve, which is how we would define mercy. And it's giving me way above and beyond what I don't deserve, which we would call grace. It's a constant pursuit on His part of showing and allowing me to partake of His goodness. A constant pursuit. And then finally, it all that comes with an unlimited ability to deliver on His covenant promises. In other words, the power to make good, the power to cause these things to come to pass is included in there. So I kind of wrap all that up and said that my way of thinking about hesed is to put these two words, covenant and love, together. It's His covenant love for me. The covenant which, if I will believe, He provides everything I need, willingly, wants to pour it out upon me. And it's His covenant, though, that seals it up and promises it and guarantees that it's mine. Now I want us to go back to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I want to continue in this chapter because we got into this talking about we need to think correctly. So we saw what He said in verse 1. He continued the context, or the theme, actually, of covenant and hesed. Now look down in verses 6 and 7. In verse 6, He says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near." And then in verse 7, and these are the two or three phrases I really want us to pick up on. In these phrases, He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." So He's talking about the wicked man who's doing his own thing, who's not doing things God's way. Let him forsake it. And then the phrase says, "and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Well, what's He saying there? He's also talking about the unrighteous, which you can equate with the wicked, forsaking his thoughts as well. Now, why would He want us to do that? Because it's not the way He wants us. It's going an opposite direction from Him. And that's what He says next. Let him return to the Lord, which is receiving forgiveness. And look at what's going to happen. This is why when we blow it, we should have no fear of turning back to the Lord. He's going to have compassion on us. And to our God, for He will, His nature is to abundantly pardon. So we see here that the Lord is telling us today, don't think like the world does. Forsake it. Don't act like the world does. And part of the way we act is reflected in how we speak, because out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. And then in verses 8 and 9, it's almost as if He changes thoughts again. But He's not. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declare the Lord." Now, everyone will take this and say, "See, you just can never know what God's going to do, because we just don't think like Him. We just don't know what He's ever going to do." But that's not what I believe He's talking about. Look at verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Well, He's saying the same thing as verse 8, isn't He, men? So we just can't know. No. What did He tell us in verse 7 to do? To forsake the way we think, to return to Him. And I believe what He's telling us, when we do that, that we can, as we learn Him through the Word of God, again, the Word's been placed inside us, written on our heart. We have the mind of Christ in our spirit. We're renewing our mind. As we get His Word in us and renew our thinking, then the thinking in our soulish realm is going to line up with the mind of Christ in our spirit realm. And so we will begin to think as He thinks. We will be thinking higher than we did before, which is why He told us to forsake it. And then the next two verses almost looks like another contrast. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, producing, in other words, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner with which I sent it. So, you're sitting there thinking, well, why are you saying this? Well, let's go back and look at 6 and 7. I change my thinking to His thinking. I change my ways to Him, to the way He acts, because I'm thinking differently, I'm acting differently, and I'm also speaking differently. So I'm thinking His thoughts. His thoughts really dominate my being. And so now I begin to walk in His ways. And then all of a sudden, I'm speaking in His ways. And now you can see in this next verse why the Lord told Reinhard Mankey that my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. That's what these verses is telling us. When we forsake our ways and our old way of thinking and turn and do things His way, then you're going to have a totally different perspective on everything. So we've talked about this. Now, let's understand, before we leave it, again, what is the context of this whole discussion? The new covenant that we have been brought into as we believe in Jesus. It started in Isaiah 53. It continued as He talked about covenant in Isaiah 54 and Hesed. It continued in the 55 in the first verses as He contrasted old covenant and new covenant. And it continues on right through this point right now. Now, why am I saying this? Because I believe the Lord earnestly desires that we change the way we think and thus the way we act and the way we speak concerning blood covenant. In other words, He wants us to walk in the fullness of all the covenant provisions that the blood of Jesus purchased for us in our redemption. Much, much more than just a ticket to heaven. Much, much more. Now, I want to take just a few moments and look at a few scriptures that talk a bit more about covenant and Hesed. And I want you to go first to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And what I want you to begin to see as we look at these verses is the first thing is how they fit together. It's just hand in glove. You literally cannot separate them. And then I want you to begin to see how His Hesed is a force and can be a force in our life when we call upon His mercy, believing that we're doing more than just getting to our last resort and saying, have mercy, please God, you got to do something. And we end up begging. You're going to see we can get to a point where we can declare as we request His mercy, believing that it's going to come just like we believe we receive when we ask using any other verses. So Deuteronomy 7, the 9th verse. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God. And then look at this phrase, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness. Now that word keep there, you're going to see in another verse here in a moment, means literally to guard, to protect, to preserve. It's saying you're protecting and preserving something that is of great value to you. So what is He doing? He is keeping His covenant and His Hesed, His loving kindness, to 1,000 generations to those who love Him and keep His commandments. Now please understand, as we read these old covenant verses, in the old covenant, covenant of works, they had to do exactly what every law said. You and I don't, because Jesus did that for us. So all we have to do is love Him and do our very best to be obedient to what His Word says. And that shouldn't surprise you, because in John 14, three times He says, if you love Me, you'll obey Me, or you'll keep My commandments. That's just hearing His Word, and out of this hesed that is now in us, we want to love Him back and serve Him. Skip down to verse 12. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and do them. Again, Jesus fulfilled this law for you and I, that the Lord your God will do these things. And I want you to see in this verse, it just seems more personable to me, more one-on-one, like He's talking to you. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you. He's going to guard you. Same word. He's going to protect you. He's going to preserve you. He's going to treat you as something of great value to Him. And how's He going to do it? He's going to keep you with His covenant and His hesed. That's His covenant and His loving kindness here, which He swore to our forefathers. And you know that we've become an heir with Abraham. And we're also a joint heir with Jesus. So these promises are ours. But you see again, the coupling, the putting together, the relationship between covenant and hesed. And then look down in verse 13. And He will love you, and He will bless you, and He will multiply you. And He's going to bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your grain. Well, let's back up, the fruit of your womb. So we have a covenant promise here that our children, and I'll say our grandchildren, or maybe for some of you, great-grandchildren, our grandchildren are included in this, because we now understand covenant and hesed. They're going to be blessed. Don't let what they're doing get you off track from believing it. You don't have to just go to the altar and cry for mercy. Now, the Lord is merciful, and He'll honor that. But when we see that we can call upon His hesed in faith for our children, it's a game changer for the way you pray concerning your family. And then He goes on and talks about increasing our herd and the young of our flock in the land which He swore to give to us. And look at verse 14. This is one of my favorite verses. You shall be blessed above all peoples. Why? How? Because I walk in the covenant love of my Father. That's His love for me. This is His desire. And there'll be no barren, male or female, among us in our family, nor our cattle even. And then, since we're talking about healing school, this is really where I wanted to get to in this series of verses. Verse 15. And the Lord will remove from you all sicknesses. It doesn't say some. It says all. Now you say, well, that's not happening. Are we believing it? Are we walking in the fullness of this covenant, understanding what we really have in it? Are we getting our mind renewed to where those same thoughts are coming out of our mouth as declarations of what we have in Him? And then He goes on and says, and I'm not going to put any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you've known. So what do we see in this? We have a covenant of healing. Now in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, as He was right after He gave the Ten Commandments, He also says to the children of Israel, I will remove sickness from your midst and fulfill the numbers of your days. Let's look at one more that talks about the hesed, or the loving kindness of the Lord, or the mercy of the Lord, and healing. Go to Psalm 103 with me. And we're going to look at three verses, just 2, 3, and 4. Although I'll tell you, if you keep reading, there are several other verses, or three or four of them, that have this same word hesed in there. And again, one of them actually talks about our children, that because of His loving kindness toward it, our righteousness will extend to our children's children. But here He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. How about if I say, forget none of His covenant promises? Verse 3, who pardons all your iniquities. Now, there's a reason that's first, because that was the main issue, dealing with sin. But because He has dealt with sin, look what's next. The impact of sin on our life. And sickness came into the world only once sin came into the world. In the garden there was none. So He says, who pardons all your iniquities, and who does what? Heals all your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems our life from the pit, and who crowns us with hesed, loving kindness and compassion. Let me just remind you, in this time where all the talk is about the COVID-19 or the coronavirus, do you know that the word corona literally means a crown, a circle that is placed upon the head? And that's what the devil thought. He thought he could put his crowning virus out in this world and destroy us as believers. He can't. Why? Because you've already been crowned with the hesed of the Lord. That is a promise we have in this verse. So again, we just have another confirmation of healing. Go to 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. And I want to look at the 14th verse. This is Solomon talking, the wisest man on the earth at that time. Probably the wisest man except for Jesus. And he's dedicated the temple. And we will probably look at some of that discourse next week. But on verse 14, he gets on his knees and he prays. And I want you to look how he describes the Lord. O Lord, God of Israel. That's like you and I saying, my Father God, or approaching Jesus. There is no God in heaven or earth like you. There is no God like thee in heaven or earth. And then look at what it says. Keeping covenant and showing loving kindness. You know what that word is by now. His hesed. And let me just remind you of what it means. Ever faithful, limitless love, gives, mercy, grace, constant pursuit, wanting me to partake of his goodness, and an unlimited ability to deliver on his promises. That's what he's saying. Keeping covenant and showing loving kindness. Now, really, the word showing there is not in the Hebrew language. What it's literally saying is that he is keeping or guarding us, bereath, and hesed. So again, you see these two working together in union with each other, guarding us and keeping us. And this is how he describes the Lord God. And he really gets this from Exodus 33 and 34, where the Lord talks about himself with these same words. And we just don't have time to go there this morning, but maybe again next week. Now I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 20. And for those of us who worship at High Point, you know that Pastor Trey, in the first three times that we met during this times of meeting online, and let me just say, we are praying that the anointing you sense in your home is just as strong as the anointing that is coming forth here when we're all corporately together. We've been praying that. We've been really believing that. And that's why I expect there's going to be some of you today, as this dawns on you, you remember the scripture in Lamentations that says, his mercies are new every morning. Well, I believe that's literally saying when this revelation dawns on you, that you can receive your healing right now without anyone praying for you or receiving laying on of hands. You can just take it as yours as you see this. And you're really going to jump after we see this one. So in 2 Chronicles 20, armies have come against them. Jehoshaphat, the king, gets up and begins to pray. And in verse 6, he says, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not the God in heaven? And art thou not ruler over all kingdoms of the nation? Power and might are in thy hand, so who can stand against us? And then he continues and says in verse 7, Dost thou not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, thy friend forever? Please recognize that covenant, as we're talking about, is also known as the covenant of strong friendship. And so what is Jehoshaphat doing here? He is invoking covenant. He's bringing it up before the Lord in his prayer. Now look down at verse 11. He does it again. He says, Behold, how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us from thy possession, which you've given us as an inheritance, or as I would say it this way, as a covenant promise. So you know what happened then. The prophet got a word for the Lord, from the Lord. You don't need to fight the battle. You go out and face them, and I'm going to fight the battle for you. And they worshiped the Lord. And then in the next chapter, and we're going to read verse starting in verse 20, the next day they're together, and they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust," and that's what we're talking about, having this confident trust to go face our enemies the way they are doing. "Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed." In other words, do what the Lord has said. But in this next verse, it says, "And when they had consulted with the people." Now, for years, I thought, and this has been 10 or 15 years ago when I finally saw this, that the Lord said, "You go put the singers out." That's not what this says. This verse clearly says that when they had consulted with the people, they appointed those who sang to the Lord and who praised Him in holy attire. They thought this was the right thing to do. This is why this is such a good battle plan, as Pastor Trey taught us, because we can do the same thing. We have the word of the Lord that when we praise, the enemy's going to scatter. And look what happened. "So they appointed those who sang to the Lord and who praised Him in holy attire. And as they went before the army," look what they said, "give thanks to the Lord, for His hesed is everlasting." And when that phrase was proclaimed, what began to happen? That's when the ambushes began to be set amongst the different armies. And they sat there and proclaimed two things, covenant and hesed, really the same thing. But in proclaiming that, what did that do? That brought the Spirit, the power of the Lord, on the scene to accomplish just what had been promised them. You stand and watch. You don't need to fight this battle, for the victory is mine and I'm giving it to you. So we see how it works there. I want to show you one other one, Psalms. And if you do a search, you're going to be amazed at how much hesed is used in the Psalms. It says in this verse, and this is a psalm, I believe, about Jesus. "Will thy loving kindness be declared in the grave?" So let me say it the way we've been speaking. "Will thy hesed be declared in the grave? In thy faithfulness," and what do we know about covenant? And what do we know about hesed? It's faithful love, and covenants are forever in Abaddon. So what is being said here? And then verse 11 says, "Will thy wonders be made known in darkness?" Excuse me, I started in verse 10. Let me read you it correctly. Different pages, and I knew the punchline. "Would thou perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise thee?" And then verse 11. "Will thy hesed be declared in the grave and thy faithfulness in Abaddon?" So what do we know happened? What is being declared here? That God is going to show His hesed even in the grave. And I believe that's why Jesus could face the cross, because He had a promise from the Father. And He knew His hesed. And He knew His faithfulness to His covenant. And I believe those two things is what gave the Holy Spirit the right to act and bring the power of God on the scene to raise Jesus. So with that, as we've looked at some combinations, let's take a quick look at our new covenant as it relates to healing. So go to Isaiah 53 with me. In Isaiah 53, and I just want to look at the very last line that's on your screen there. "And by His scourging we're healed." And there's not much more said about the scourging in the New Testament. It says they just took Him and scourged Him. But I want to talk about that for a moment, because what is happening here is a covenant exchange. In covenant, I would give something and you would give something. They would exchange armor, for instance. They would exchange names, as Abraham, the Lord had Abraham do when He changed his name. But I want you to see the magnitude of what is said here, and by His scourging, we're healed. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. Jesus went to the whipping post, and look at what was prophesied about Him doing that. "I gave my back to those who strike me." So he knew this was coming on the cross. Now, to me, cross is from the time he bled in Gethsemane to the time he said it is finished. In glory to God, there was a resurrection day, as we just saw in the previous verses. But he said, I gave my back to those who strike me. And he goes on and says, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, and I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. So he took all that punishment for you and I. How deep was that punishment? Look at Psalm 129, verse 3. I actually have a hard time reading this one. The plowers plowed upon my back. They lengthened their furrows. Now let's think about that whipping post. A small post. He was bent over, his back humped up, exposed. And who performed this whipping? The Romans, not the Jews. Let me just remind you, it was the Jews who had a law of 39 stripes. Not the Romans. They were merciless. They would beat and whip the person long enough that they could just get to the point where they absolutely didn't kill him to preserve him from the cross. And there were normally two of them that do it, and they were very skilled. So what is happening in this exchange? And I read these not to be gross, but we need to understand the depth of this covenant love for you and I. Well, Jesus took the curse. He took all sickness and disease. You can read in Deuteronomy 28, a whole long list of all the things. And then it goes on and says, and even sicknesses that aren't named. He took our mental and our physical issues as it pertains to sickness and disease. What did we get? Well, we get the blessing. We get healing in total for you and I. Not just the spirit, again, but the mental and body, the physical. I just do not agree. There's too many times in Isaiah 53 when it talks about boring our pain. And let me just read it. Our griefs he bore and our sorrows he carried. Those words really are translated more times sickness. One of them 20 out of 24 for the word koli. And so it's much, much more than just spiritual. Spirit, soul, and body, we've been made complete. How was the covenant of described to us earlier? My covenant of peace. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness is provided us. So Isaiah 53:5 says, by his scourging or by those stripes, we're healed. We also have the commentary of the Holy Spirit on it, where he said, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That's in Matthew 8:17. And then finally in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed, or whose wounds. So now we've gone full circle. And I want to go back, and we're going to go through these quickly. Mark chapter 10, to talk about and look at blind Bartimaeus. Now Bartimaeus was blind. He's not today. And Bartimaeus went to the Jewish people just like he was supposed to, proved his blindness, and was given a beggar's cloak for being blind. That's important for us to realize. So coming, verse 46, they came to Jericho, and he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out. Now, what did he hear? He's healing everybody. Some say he's Messiah. And that's what he cried out. Jesus, son of David, that's an implication of Messiah, have hesed on me. Now, I know the Greek word there is not hesed, but I want to use that to show you his way of thinking, his mindset, what produced this speech. And what happened? They said, be quiet. He's not got time with you. Ignore him. Just go on. But what did he begin to do? Cry out even more the same thing. Jesus, son of David, in other words, Messiah, the anointed one. Have mercy on me. Have hesed on me. And I want you to see the power of those words upon Jesus, because he stopped and turned his attention toward him. And then he said, come here. Now, why do I believe he understood, he being Bartimaeus, understood what was happening? Because he knew the promises. He understood hesed. Look what he did in this verse. When they told him that he was coming to them, what's the first thing that he did in verse 50? He threw aside that cloak. Why? He knew he had a covenant promise. He wasn't crying out mercy for mercy just as a last resort. I believe he acted believing that this is going to come about. And thus he could throw that cloak away. Why? Because when he went to Jesus, he got just what he expected. Do you see that this isn't just a last ditch cry or a last resort saying, please God, I beg you. We can declare it in faith. Lord, have mercy on me, for that's your nature. That's also my covenant promise. We see the same thing in Matthew 9:27-29. And I'm probably not going to read all of this, these three verses, but they said this basically the same thing. Have mercy on us, son of David. And then look what Jesus asked him. Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said yes. Why would they say anything else? Because they understood Hesed and they knew they had a covenant with the Lord. And what happened, they saw. And the last example I'll talk about quickly is the 10 lepers. Now they didn't say it exactly the same way, but they cried for mercy. And what did Jesus do? He stopped again. His ears are listening for His words, for His covenant words. And when He hears them, He's going to give attention to you. When we do it in faith. So He tells them, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Now why would they go show themselves to the priest? Because that's the person that had to pronounce them clean. But there was a Samaritan, and what did he do? I like to think of it this way. His priests weren't in the temple. His priest was Jesus, and he returned to him to give him thanks. But it all started because I believe these Jewish guys, these lepers, with the exception of the Samaritan, the Gentile, understood Hesed. And here's a Gentile benefiting from that gracious love of God, his desire to want to give healing before his day. Just like the Syrophoenician woman who did the same thing. So how much more for us today? Look at Psalm 89, verse 28. Psalm 89, verse 28. The Lord says, my loving kindness I will keep for him forever. Now this is talking about David. But if it's promised to David, you can go to the bank on it as well. Because these mercies, same mercies, are available in our covenant for you and I. So my hesed I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to you. This is the promise we have. This is covenant that we have. So as we close today, what I've been led to do is to just begin to pray for you. And I want you to also not be ashamed to cry out for mercy on some things. What the Lord really put on my heart was in Deuteronomy 28 when it talks about long-standing diseases. And would you just put that verse back up there if you can, please? I want you to just keep your eyes on that verse as you look at the Father and as you go before Him and you ask Jesus, who is the Messiah, the Anointed One, with His anointing, for mercy. And again, long-standing issues. And what is coming to me right now is that there are those of us here who have just put up with some things and thinking it's not big enough. I just sense headaches, back of the neck, pressure pains. Maybe due to anxiety. Maybe it's due to allergies. That's another one we just can take a pill for. But I want you to see the depth of His love. If you're fighting those things today, I just join with you in crying out to the Father, not crying in a weeping, begging sense, but to speak out to Him. Father, I declare mercy on these Your children today. These Your covenant friends. These who You've promised in this verse, shown above me, that You will honor Your covenant and that Your hesed will be active in their life. I just hear the word joints. I don't hear knees or anything like that, just the word joint. So if there are those of you there who are fighting joint issues, could be arthritis. It could be you've had surgery on a joint and you're missing part of cartilage or something like that. It could be hips. Those are the three things that just come to mind. In the name of Jesus, I speak mercy on your body. I speak the hesed of God to bring His redeeming power, His healing power to you right now in Jesus' name. And I just keep hearing also this mental anxiety. It's almost like it just has been a yoke around your neck. And this is for somebody, because this is really what I was planning to talk about next week. His anointing comes with His covenant. And it is that anointing that will break this yoke of bondage around your neck. And so right now, we just decree covenant hesed on these worries, these anxieties that are weighing you down. And I even sense that there's somebody who's saying, okay, I'm feeling all right, but I don't know how I'm going to make it. I haven't been able to work in a while. Well, we saw in Deuteronomy 7, these verses, it said what? You're going to be blessed above all people. You're going to prosper. And what was the context of Him saying that? His loving kindness, His hesed towards you. So I just speak prosperity. No lack. No lack. In Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, we will probably open with this next week. But let me just declare this over us. Can you look at Psalm 23, please? And I want to look at verse 6. This is your promise today, the sure mercies of David. Surely, goodness. And we've seen that that can be a synonym for this word hesed. And mercy. Again, that's hesed. So goodness and hesed shall follow me. Now, follow me there doesn't mean it's just trailing back, just seeing where you're going to wander to. It means it's chasing you down. You see that hesed of the Lord that we talked about, His desire to give furiously to you, that love so intense. He's chasing you down all the days of my life so that you can dwell in this covenant of peace with Him forever. Father, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You for ministering to Your people. And I just sense there are a lot of people who acted on what they learned today in declaring Your mercy, Your hesed, and Your covenant over them. And they received not on my faith, but on their faith. So I give You thanks for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now I would ask that if you received from something today, either by what we declared, or more importantly to me, I like testimonies better when they come from you, where you understood and acted on it. Please go to this video and comment and let us share with us, because we want to be encouraged by each other's faith. So Father, we thank You right now for the word we've heard. We say we will not be hearers only, but we'll be doers of the word. And we will receive the fullness of the blessing that Jesus purchased for us. And we will walk in the fullness of Your covenant love from this day forward. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in His peace in that covenant hesed. Have a great weekend.